السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Continuing with the topic of the qualities of the heart And yesterday Alhamdulillah Allah Ta'ala granted us the tawfiq to start and to speak and to engage in a discussion With regards to developing the quality of love within our hearts In English, they translate the word love as having, you know, a deep inclination or affection towards something, and together with that, the willingness to sacrifice and to commit towards that particular thing which is beloved to one. Could be a person, could be a thing. Ulama Ikram explain also that generally a person is attracted to something due to three reasons. Either Jamal, Kamal or Nawal. If we find, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we always say for every single believer, that the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should dominate the love of everything else. So when we speak about Nawal, then what we are referring to is that particular being or individual that we are inclined to or we love, We are indebted to that individual due to his kindness or her kindness upon us. As somebody has been very, very kind to us, they're always supporting us, they're always helping us, you know, they're always motivating us. So that's kindness. So you find a person is attracted to that. And a person over time will start loving that individual who is giving one kindness. As far as that goes, Can anyone, you know, understate the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there anyone, any being that has been so kind to us than more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Everything that we have, the very heart that is beating, the blood that is flowing within our bodies, this is all the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ That whatever bounty you have, inevitably is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And we even translate it that way, that all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even though somebody is praising you, effectively they're praising Allah ta'ala because Allah is the one who gave you that bounty. So all praises eventually go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all Whatever we have in our lives, it's nothing but the ni'mat and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala says in another verse of the Quran Sharif, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا That if you have to count even one bounty of ours, you will never be able to encompass it. Not even one bounty. If a person, for example, for iftar, he had one samosa. Now in that one samosa, how many ni'mats of Allah ta'ala are behind that one samosa? The purr that is there, the flour in the purr, then the meat, and then the mincing process of the meat, and then that meat, if we have to go, where did the meat come from? And that farmer had to set up his farm, and he had to work so hard, perhaps he had to even get some kind of qualification, and then he had to get capital from this one, and then he had to buy his farm, and then the equipment that went with it, and then the workers had to work and tend to that those animals, and then the feed came from another place. And then if we take the pearl, the flour, and each item, it'll just go on and on and on, and then if just the transportation, the truck that came, all the equipment on the truck, the metal, the rubber, the driver had to get his license. Behind one ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, there are millions of bounties that we cannot understand. That is why if a person takes one morsel of food and he throws it, effectively he's throwing and showing disrespect to all those bounties of Allah Ta'ala attached to it. That's why we cannot even count a single bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are absolutely indebted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we take it one step down, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how indebted we are to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had it not been for the sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi used to say in his dua, that Ya Allah, had it not been for the sacrifices of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't know in which church we would have been ringing bells, or which temple we would have been worshipping some idol. So it was really the nawal and the kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah speaks about لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. And then, بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Rasulullah s.a.w. when he came to the believers, how much of love and how much of mercy he had for the believers. So the nawal of Rasulullah s.a.w. is tremendous. And then, of course, our parents, you know, the sacrifices that they made for us. We are indebted to them. And then our teachers and our asatiza, the sacrifices that they've made for us. So we are indebted to these individuals. And because of that, a person becomes inclined to them. The second reason is jamal, beauty. A person is attracted to beauty. That car, the youngster is attracted to the car because it's beautiful. It's got some, you know, some nice curves and, you know, beautiful mags and color and whatever it is. So the person is attracted to that. So a person is attracted to beautiful garden, etc. And then finally, a person is attracted to something that has got kamal in it. It's got perfection, a degree of perfection in it. Oh, Allah Ta'ala is the only being that has absolute perfection. But there are certain things that have got degrees of perfection. You know, slightly higher degree of perfection, maybe closer to perfection. Not perfect, but closer to perfection. And a person is inclined to those things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, what kind of perfection he had, how kamil he was as far as his akhlaq goes, as far as his dealings goes, as far as his speech goes, every aspect there was such kamal. So a person is attracted to those kind of things. And therefore we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah should dominate the love of everything else. And thereafter a person loves his parents, he loves his friends, and all that love will be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such an extent that the person can even hate an individual for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereto the person is hating him because the person is not willing to accept the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, we were speaking about this aspect of love and how important it is to develop this love within our lives. And we had given examples of our kabirin and the sahaba ikram and how much of muhabbat and love they had for each other. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he displayed love and how he was an embodiment of love. Now the question is, how do we engender this love within ourselves? So yesterday we touched on the aspect of salam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, spread salam amongst you. Spread the salam amongst you. Make it common. Make salam to whoever you know. Whether you recognize the person or you do not recognize the person, the salam will create a level of closeness. It'll create that feeling of strangeness. Now when you make salam to the person, that barrier somewhat is broken down. Together with that, we are advised that to exchange gifts. Nabi Kareem Sahasam said, Tahadaw tahabu, that give gifts to one another. This will create love for each other. And of course, remember that when we are giving a gift, that is actually a reflection, or what we are saying is that I am showing my mahabbat for you. Now, therefore, a person who gives a gift with some strings attached to it, then that's not really a gift in reality. A gift should be solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and an expression of one's mahabbah and one's love. Our late Mu'inusab Rahmatullah used to say that in fact one should only accept a gift from that person who regards your acceptance of his gift as a favor upon him. He regards your acceptance of his gift as a favor upon him. So for that person, then why not accept his gift? Because he is what mahabbat he has for you, and he is expressing that mahabbat and love. And therefore, and we too, when we are giving that gift, so we should give that gift with sincerity, with real sincerity. I remember very clearly, one person came to our late Mu'inusab Rahmatullah Ali, and he presented an envelope as a gift. And Maulana was particular, he wouldn't just accept from anyone unless he knew the person. So this person had just established a relationship with Maulana. So Maulana didn't really know him that well. So Maulana said, "Bhai, Jazakallah, don't worry about this." Maulana gave it back to him. And now this person felt quite offended. So Maulana took two steps and he looked at this person. And Maulana was very, very sensitive. He could sense very quickly. So he went back to the person. He says, "All right, give it here." And then Maulana opened the envelope, and there was about 500 rand inside. So Maulana took 200 rand from there. He said, "Right, I'm taking 200 and the 300 I'm giving back to you. So I have accepted some of your gift." He later contacted Maulana. He says, "Maulana, you know, it is your karamat. It's really something supernatural. But the truth of the matter was, I actually took out 200 rand to give you. But then I thought to myself, that, you know what, it's not right to give just 200 rand. How can you just give 200 rand? Rather make it 500 rand. So the 200 rand was really what came from the heart. The other 300 rand that he put there, he just put it there so that, you know, he didn't really give it with that was not his initial intention. So the lesson we learn from that is that when we give a gift, even if it's something small, but give it from the deepest recesses of our heart, even if it's something so simple and meager, subhanallah, that kind of a gift will have great benefit. There is a story of a certain person who was going to visit his sheikh. And before going to that, once I was a student, and I was, we still are students, alhamdulillah. So we went to go and visit our late Mu'inu Sahib rahmatullah. It was our madrasa holidays. So I didn't know what to bring, and our budget was not that high, you know. So the only thing I could manage at that time was some socks. So Maulana always had white socks. So I bought one or two pairs of white socks. And I came to Hazrat's house. Hazrat used to stay in Cactus Lane at that time. So I came to visit. Hazrat was very happy, etc. So I presented the gift. So Hazrat just opened the packet. He said, "What's the socks?" So I said, "Gee, Hazrat, something small." He said, "I was just telling Appa right now, just before you came, that, you know, let's just go to the shop down there. I need to get some pair of socks." So subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala made it such. But the person, you give something and you try and be as sincere as possible. Not that we're sincere, but maybe Allah Ta'ala made it such that we put it in the heart to give the right thing. There was this one murid who couldn't find any gift to give to his sheikh, so he gathered some sticks. He gathered some sticks. And he came to his sheikh and he was embarrassed. But he said, "Hazrat, you know, I thought to myself, what else? And I brought the sticks." So the sheikh said, "You know, he told the khadim, they take the sticks and keep it one side. Keep it one side." And then later on he made wasiyat that when I pass away and you are warming the water for my ghusl, those they didn't have geezers. So when you are warming the water for my ghusl, I want you to use those sticks. Because I perceive that this person has brought this gift with such sincerity. So therefore, there will be such barakat in just in the sticks alone. So this teaches us that even when we are giving a gift, give a gift with a clean heart, give it from the bottom of our heart, and be genuine in giving that gift. So by giving gifts, this will create mahabbah, this will create love between each other. And then of course, النصح لكل مؤمن, to sincerely wish well for every single believer. If we wish well for others, and we genuinely wish well, this is one of the advisors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الدين النصيحة, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that deen is to sincerely wish well for all. قُلْنَا لِمَنْ The Sahaba Ikram asked, "For whom, Ya Rasulullah?" Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then elaborate, لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِكِتَابِهِ وَلِأَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَامَّتِهِمْ. In other words, to sincerely wish well for all across the board, whether it is for Allah. Wishing well for Allah means fulfilling all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wishing well for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making ita'ah and obeying the advisors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And wishing well for every single Muslim. There was one sahabi by the name of Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. He said, بايعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على النصح لكل مؤمن. He said, I pledge allegiance on the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I will sincerely wish well for every single Muslim. So it is mentioned about him that on one occasion, he sent his servant out to go and purchase a horse. So the servant went and he found a horse that was for sale. He got into, you know, a negotiation with the seller and they agreed on the price of 400 dirhams. 400 dirhams to purchase that horse. So he brought the seller to Hazrat Jarir ibn Abdullah so that he can make the payment. When the Sahabi saw the horse, he realized that, you know, the price that he's paying is really below, this person has undervalued his horse. So he told him that, "Look, would you be willing to accept 500? So he said, "Of course I'd be willing to accept 500. He said, "Would you be willing to accept 600? And in this manner he continued his unusual bargaining until finally it is said that he paid 800 dirhams for this particular horse. 800 or 900 dirhams for 800 dirhams for this particular horse. So in other words, he paid double the price. So people asked him that, why did you do this here? He said that I pledged allegiance on the hand of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to sincerely wish well for every single Muslim. Hence, I felt that I needed to give him the best possible price for his animal. Today, what is our condition? The other day, one person phoned me. So he, mashallah, he does some work, very labor intensive work that he does. I don't want to go into too much details, but extremely labor intensive work that he does. And he gets paid according to a specific rate. So some family members phoned him and they said, listen, we need this work done. Would you do it for us? So he said, yeah, no problem, by all means. So he did the work. Now when it came to the payment, so now they started with, you know, family now, you know, make a plan, it's family and all of that. So he said, look, this is my normal price, but I'm prepared to give you all this price here, which was well below his normal rate. He said they were not satisfied, they carried on, and yet, mashallah, he says that they are quite well off, mashallah, quite, but they cut him right till the skin and bones, you know. He said that I actually took a loss, but because it's family, I said, never mind, just leave it out, because they were not satisfied with anything that I was giving, just to take something, I just carried on. And this is unfortunately our condition nowadays, that we try and mince and squeeze at the person as much as we possibly can. You know, get the last cent out of the person, the last bit of juice out of him, then only we satisfied. This is not the correct way. The correct way is that we should rather try and give a little more. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "A'tul ajira ajrahu qabla iyajifa." Give the worker his payment before his sweat even dries, so that he sees the fruits of his efforts. And another important thing is when we do these kind of things, that, you know, in this particular transaction, there was nothing from the start. Always make sure that things are clear from the start. That look, this is the normal charge. Are you happy with this price here? Once we are in agreement with that, there won't be any issue whatsoever. I had one person came into the office in the madrasa, non-Muslim person working for a Muslim individual, and that person's the company vehicle that he was using, which belonged to the Muslim owner, had broken down. So that Muslim person said, "All right, you use your car, I'll cover you. You use your car, I'll cover you." So he said, "Yeah, no, boss, no problem." And he continued for an entire month, he used his car, he went to this place, that place, and bichara, his car too was, you know, half falling apart. So he said that came end of the month, this person gave him a very meager sum of money. Absolutely meager sum of money. He looked at him, he said that, "What am I going to do with this money?" He said, "No, it's for your car." He said, "But it doesn't cover my cost, you know." So he said that, "Well, that's all I can manage to give you." So he said that, "Okay, no problem." Then he pulls out a list of things. He said, "Right, okay, today you're going to do X, Y, Z." So he said, "Okay, no problem, I'll do it, but I'm not using my car." So he said, "Well, look, if you're not prepared to use your car, go find a job somewhere else." So he said, "All right," and he walked out from there. So he came into the office, he was very emotional, you know, he was very, very saddened. But what should have happened is that initially the Muslim person should have said that, "Look, this is how much I'm going to pay you for your vehicle, this is the rate I will be giving you per kilometer." And then afterwards there would have been no misunderstanding thereafter. And these are teachings of Islam that will avoid these kind of ill feelings. So, an-nushu li kulli muslimin, that we should sincerely wish well for every single believer. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam also mentioned that la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi. That none of you can be a true believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. Until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. MashaAllah, today you'll find that it happens sometimes. A person, he has clothing and the clothing is getting old. So now the shoes have got holes inside, the socks have got holes inside. And so let's find one poor person and give it to him. The question is, would you be comfortable wearing that kind of a shoe? Would you be comfortable? So if you don't feel comfortable, then why give it to the next person? MashaAllah, our brother Abdul is here. He's from the soup kitchen in Glenwood area. So mashallah, he will tell you that the soup that is being prepared, it is so tasty that we too can eat it. In fact, when we did the testing, in the tasting, we enjoyed it. And we even said that mashallah, this is what we must be giving other people, that we too can eat it and enjoy it, and other people must also be able to enjoy it. Not that the person gives things which are half rotting and maggots are coming out from there and then you're giving it to the person. This is inappropriate, especially when it comes to a Muslim. and any human being for that matter. Thereafter, we tonight, how appropriate, we spoke about Surah Hujurat, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about certain aspects, certain social etiquettes that we should implement in our lives, and certain habits we should eliminate from our lives to create mutual harmony and love within our community. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about certain things that don't ridicule each other, don't find fault with each other, do not spy on one another, do not call each other names. Today the name calling has become so common. Across the board, people are calling each other names. This one is calling that one a fasiq. This one is calling these people are hypocrites. And then others are calling others kuffar. You know, we are standing, you know, as gatekeepers of Jahannam, trying to dispatch as many people to the fire of Jahannam as we possibly can. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I was reading the fatawa of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud rahmatullah alayh. And you'll find there, when it comes to the section of Aqeedah, people would send fatwas to him to say a certain person made a certain statement, that one did this year. He would find every excuse to keep the person within the fold of Islam. Every excuse, he said, no, we don't know the circumstance in which he said it. So he would find every excuse to keep the person in the fold of Islam. Today we find that our society has become such that we are just waiting to dispatch as many people to the fire of Jahannam as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith sharif, that person who calls the next person a disbeliever, then one of the two of them will definitely be, you know, will be deserving of that title. And if that person who you call a kafir is not deserving of the title will then fall on the individual who called that person a kafir. May Allah protect us. So we should be extremely cautious. Allah Ta'ala has not sent us into the world to judge others, but we should be judging ourselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then further says, don't make ghibah of each other. What is ghibah? Dhikruka akhaak bima yakra. That you recall and speak about another person, some weakness that is perhaps is found in that person. It's not a slander where you speak about something that's not found in the person, then that's slandering the person. Yet the person has got some weakness, definitely. The person has a drug habit, for example. Now you are making ghibat of it behind his back and talking about it. One is you went to his ustad or you went to his parents and you said, listen, I would like to inform you that your son has got a drug habit and perhaps you are not aware. So that is now, you are ala tariq al-islah. You are conveying that message so that you can help him improve himself. You can help him reform. That is not referred to as ghibah. In fact, sometimes it becomes necessary to actually mention what is happening. You find out that a certain person is about to commit a crime, a serious crime. Then sometimes it becomes necessary for you to inform the relevant authorities that, listen, this person is about to commit a murder, is about to break into a certain person's home. I am aware of it. I'm sending an anonymous note, but I'd like you to know that this person, I've received intelligence that he's going to break into a certain person's home or is involved in a kidnapping scheme, you know. So there, that will not be regarded as ghibah. But here where we just sit and we talk about, you heard about this one and you heard what that person did and you heard what this person did. This is ghibah. Allah Ta'ala says, would any one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would detest it. You would detest eating the flesh of your dead brother. So therefore ghibah is akin to that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned the mafhum of that hadith, that the person is fasting, but he is actually eating and consuming the flesh of his dead brother while he is fasting. So these are things that will create and remove the love within our community. And we should make an effort to eliminate it. When it comes to love and hate, then there too there should be moderation in it. Beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَحْبِبْ حَبِيبَكَ هَوْنَمَّا عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ بَغِيضَكَ يَوْمَمَّا وَأَبْغِضْ بَغِيضَكَ هَوْنَمَّا عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ حَبِيبَكَ يَوْمَمَّا كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, love your beloved, but love that individual in moderation. Perhaps that person who is your beloved today can become your enemy tomorrow. And similarly, your enemy, hate your enemy with moderation. Because perhaps that enemy of yours today, tomorrow can become your beloved. And therefore, there should always be moderation in these things. And we should also learn that when someone does something that we hate or we detest, then we should learn to separate the individual from the sin. The person is, for example, He's got the habit of drinking. He's a Muslim person and he's drinking. So definitely the act of drinking is terrible. You should look down upon the act of drinking. But look down upon the act itself, don't look down upon the person. Tomorrow the person can make tawbah and istighfar. The example that is given is the example of a diamond. That diamond falls into the sewer line. Now the diamond falls into the sewer line, it's now messed. Now the person doesn't say, throw the diamond away. And if the diamond is priceless, the person will say, you know what, let's get this diamond washed. It needs to be washed. It needs to be polished. We'll send it to the jeweler to get it polished up. And now the diamond is shining again. Every single believer, no matter how sinful he may be, no matter how soaked he may be in sins, no matter how polluted he may be in sins, but at the end of the day, he's got that sparkle of Iman. He's got that diamond of Iman. He's got his ticket to Jannah. We don't know when that person can make tawbah and istighfar. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to read the couplets of poetry that which means that there were people who were aise waise. They were like completely, you know, you write them off. You write them off. There's no chance this person can change. But what happened? Something happened to that person. There's some, Allah Ta'ala turned the muqallib al-qulub is Allah. Allah Ta'ala turned the person's heart. That person was aise waise, suddenly he became kese kese. He became the wali of the time. And that person was kese kese, he was so pious, he was the right-hand man of the sheikh. Our Mu'inus Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, I don't have any right-hand man. The only right-hand man is the people who sit on the right-hand side. So he may have been the right-hand man of the sheikh, that if you wanted to speak to the sheikh, you had to go via him. You know, he was the gatekeeper of the sheikh. But what happened to him? Suddenly, something happened. Allah knows best. Perhaps some pride, some takabbur entered the heart, and that person fell from there. And now you don't even see that person any longer. Person is, you can't find him any longer. Nowhere near the sheikh at all. Gone. What happened? Allah Ta'ala, the person who was high up there, he fell right to the ground. Typical example, shaitan. What a great abid he was. What an arif he was. What an alim he was. But, subhanallah, that pride came in and the person fell right to the ground. So therefore we have no right to look down upon any person. As far as the opposite of love is concerned and hatred, as believers, we should not harbor hatred for any person. And that's the solution. Hate the sin, hate the action, don't hate the individual. Separate the two. Remember that if we were going to keep this resentment in our hearts, then it's going to prevent the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know 15th night of Sha'ban passed now recently. What was the hadith that we heard? I'm sure the ulama ikram spoke to us. That person who has got, you know, he's got hate and malice against a fellow Muslim, then that person will be deprived of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nights of power, the night of Qadr is coming, or may have passed, Allah knows best. But if we have got animosity in our hearts, then what will our condition be? Inshallah, we will narrate perhaps tomorrow, the time is already up, of one particular sahabi, and where Nabi Kareem Sahasam on multiple occasions said that this person is a person of Jannah. Inshallah, we'll continue with that tomorrow. But this much, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to focus on our hearts. Now we realize that the heart is such a powerful, it is the king of the body. The heart is the king of the body. And the person who makes an effort on that heart, subhanallah, that person becomes a means of hidayat for so many people. The couplets of poetry come to mind. Jis qalb ki ahone, jis qalb ki ahone, dil phunk diye lako, is qalb mein ya Allah kya aag lagi hogi. That heart, meaning, and this reference is made to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jis qalb ki ahone, that the cry of that heart that was able to illuminate the hearts of a million and hundreds and thousands of hearts. Oh Allah, what kind of a fire of love and ishq and marifat, and what kind of qualities must have been abounding in that heart? Those are the qualities that were abounding in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the sahaba ikram who came, who were like wild animals, if we may say, their nature was such. But what happened to them? Subhanallah. And we gave the incident where sahaba ikram were prepared to bury their daughters alive. They were prepared to bury their daughters alive. But subhanallah, in Madinatul Munawwara, when Hazrat Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was made shaheed, and his daughter, who was a little girl, when the news reached the Sahaba-i-Kiram and the families, then it is said that the Sahaba-i-Kiram were fighting to take custody for this daughter. Each one said, I want to look after her, I want to look after her. This one said, I want to look after her. Upon seeing this, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the remark was made that subhanallah, look at the condition of the Sahaba today, that those very Sahaba who were prepared to bury their daughters alive, today they are fighting to look after this particular young girl. That was the change that took place in their hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change our hearts, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Recite Durud Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نفس شيطان دونوں نے مل کر رہائی کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ نفس و شیطان دونوں نے مل کر رہائی کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ مجھ سا خلق میں کوئی نہیں گو بد کردار نہ مسیحا مجھ سا خلق میں کوئی نہیں گو بد کردار نہ مسیحا تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب بخش دے میرے سارے گناہ تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب بخش دے میرے سارے گناہ اب تو رہے بستاد میں آخر ورد زبائے میرے ہلا لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله فصل وسلم على محمد كما أنت أهله وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة وكريم رحيم most forgiving loving caring Allah Ya Allah forgive each and every one of us Ya Allah Oh Allah we are now in the last 10 days of the month Mubarak month of Ramadan Ya Allah Oh Allah we are making so much of dua to be given life in this Mubarak month of Ramadan How much of shukr we have to make to you Ya Allah that you have given us life right to reach this point Ya Allah Oh Allah accept all our ibadat Ya Allah accept all our duas Ya Allah Oh Allah, overlook our weaknesses, Ya Allah. Definitely we did not fulfill the rights of this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, who can ever fulfill the rights, Ya Allah, of your bounties, Ya Allah? Who can ever fulfill your rights, Ya Allah? We can only make a slight effort, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, accept our weak, humble efforts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are Shakur, Ya Allah. You are that being who appreciates, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are raising our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. We are not raising our begging bowls before some idol that cannot hear us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you're all hearing, you're all seeing, Ya Allah. You can see into the deepest recesses of our hearts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Give us clean, purified hearts, Ya Allah. Hearts that are abounding with your mahabbat and your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Hearts that are filled with your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill our hearts with the love for the Quran Sharif, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love for Salah, Ya Allah. For the love for the dhikrullah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the love of khidmat, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the love for deen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, detach our hearts from this world, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, give us this world in abundance, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, let not our hearts be attached to this world, Ya Allah. For we will have to leave this world behind, Ya Allah. We will only go with our amal saliha, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, give us barakat in every single bounty that you have granted us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us all with good health, Ya Allah. Bless us with afiyat, Ya Allah. Bless us with safety from calamities, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are living in very uncertain times, Ya Allah. Allah, very turbulent times, Ya Allah. Allah, you change the condition in this country from instability to stability, Ya Allah. From insecurity to security, Ya Allah. Allah, you protect us, Ya Allah. Protect our health, Ya Allah. Protect our wealth, Ya Allah. Allah, protect our children, Ya Allah. Protect our spouses, Ya Allah. Protect our homes and our wealth, Ya Allah. Allah, you are the best of protectors, Ya Allah. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ Allah, no one can protect us like you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you grant us mukammal protection, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, keep your shadow of rahmah focused on our hearts, Ya Allah. Focused on our lives, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, at present, because of our sins, Ya Allah, our lives are full of restlessness, Ya Allah. Change the condition of our lives, Ya Allah, from restlessness to contentment, Ya Allah. From ghafla to your dhikr, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Oh Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa, Ya Allah. Those who are in hospitals, Ya Allah, make it easy for them, Ya Allah. If they will be undergoing operations, make the operations a complete success, Ya Allah. Those who are going through financial difficulties, Ya Allah, you provide for them sustenance from your unseen sources, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, those who are looking for marriage partners, bless them with pious, compatible marriage partners, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are living in times of fitna. Protect us from the fitnas of the time, Ya Allah. Protect our children, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, keep our children on sirat-e-mustaqim and protect our progeny till the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Our near and dear ones who have passed away, Ya Allah, fill the graves with nur, Ya Allah. Allahumma fillahum arhamhum masakinu fil jannah. Allahumma ja'al quburahum rawdatan bil riyadil jannah. Oh Allah, we know we have to leave this world one day, Ya Allah.
When the time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Madinatul Munawwara, at the Rawdah al-Aqdas of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa salatu wa salamu alayka Ya Rasul Allah. Cause our souls to depart, Ya Allah. Lekin agar muqaddar nahi hai, to jaha bhi ho, barakat wali maut nasib farma, wherever it may be, give us a death of barakat. Do not let the angel of death find us in any sin, Ya Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusallun ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Oh Allah, you are well aware all the good desires and aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his or hand before you, Ya Allah. Fulfill all the good desires and aspirations, Ya Allah. Whatever challenge, sickness, difficulty, Ya Allah, they are going through, you are well aware, Ya Allah. You alleviate it, Ya Allah. You remove it. You grant shifa, Ya Allah. بفضلك وجودك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.